Hello, everybody. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we're in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 3, and we left off in verse 18, so that's where we will pick it up. And if you have your Bible, open it up to John chapter 3, and we will begin right where we left off last time. While you're getting your Bible, let me remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And if you like the Word of God, that's a place to go because that's all that's there. I've been teaching the Word of God, as many of you know, for well over 30 years, and I like to save my work, at least my biblical work. So I've got 30 years of archives at thebibleversebyverse.com. Three complete series going through the Bible can be found there at thebibleversebyverse.com. And all you have to do is click on the book you want to study and click on the chapter and listen as I teach it verse by verse. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, if you are ready, and I hope you are, we'll begin in John chapter 3. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3, let's read 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And that's talking about believing on Jesus, obviously. He's condemned already. If you believe not, you're condemned already, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I mentioned this last time, that you don't have to wait till Judgment Day to find out if you're going to heaven or hell. If you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I can tell you what Jesus already told you. I'm just passing along his words. You're condemned. Just so you know ahead of time, you're condemned. Shouldn't be any surprises on Judgment Day after what Jesus just said. You receive Christ, you're not condemned. You don't receive Christ, you're condemned right now. That's your state. And if you don't take care of that, if you don't change that, you got till your death to change that. And if you don't, well, death makes permanent the choices you make in this life. Don't go to hell. Do not go to hell. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I have heard many excuses for people not coming to Christ, but there are no excuses, not really. Just one overriding reason. And Jesus cuts through all the nonsense right here. The reason that people do not submit to the Lordship of Christ, very simply, is because they love their sin and they don't want to change. It may be a very subtle sin, but it's sin. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. A real Christian does not run from light like the unsafe person does who loves his sin. A real Christian really wants to be in the light of God's word. He wants to be in prayer. He wants to be in the Word of God. He wants to be close to God. He wants God to show him if he's doing something wrong so that he can change it. That's the difference between a saved and an unsaved person. 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, the land of Judea is southern Israel. Remember, Israel was separated into three parts at this time, three sections. You had Galilee in the north, Samaria in the middle, and Judea, which is where Jerusalem was, or was in the south. And so again, with that in mind, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, in John chapter 4, verse 2, right here, not right here, it'll be coming up pretty soon, we will see that Jesus did not really baptize himself, only his disciples did, which means his disciples baptizing by his command was in reality Christ baptizing, as it says right here. It says he baptized. But in Luke or in John 4, 2, it says he did not. It was just his disciples. Well, what does that mean then? That means that if his disciples do something by his command, it's him doing it. Whether it's baptism or communion or carrying out any other command of God, in Jesus' name, when we do it, it is Christ doing it through us. So Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When I do that through scripture verse by verse, when you do that with me by your prayers and your financial support, we do that, but it's really Jesus doing it in us and through us. We're letting Jesus do that for us. Verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. John, you know, quite a while ago here now, pointed out Jesus as the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was directing his disciples to follow Jesus. But John the Baptist did not quit baptizing after Jesus came on the scene. John will keep doing what God has called him to do until God allows circumstances that will keep him from doing it. We should always do what God has called us to do for as long as we can do it, until circumstances, which of course would be allowed by God, stop us from doing it. Always obey God as long as you can, as much as you can, the best that you can. So, 23, and John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. And that's going to be the thing that's going to stop him from baptizing. You're going to do it until he's thrown in prison for preaching and ministering. And when that does happen, when he's thrown into prison, he's not yet there. But when it does happen, that'll put an end to his ministry of baptism anyway. So, again, I say, it is important for us, and we learn this from John, it is important for us to do all that we can while we can. Do all that you can for Jesus while you can do it. Jesus said, we must work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. The religious leaders, and I think I mentioned this back, when we looked at the wedding in Cana, back in chapter 2. The religious rulers of that day loved their purification rituals, loved their man-made rules about purification rituals, rules that went beyond what was written in the Word of God. And therefore, because they loved those things, they were a little uncomfortable with John's baptism, because that was a form of a cleansing ritual. That's how they looked at it. But they were uncomfortable with John's baptism to begin with, because they didn't sanction him, see? And now on top of that, Jesus is baptizing. At least his disciples are. And the religious rulers are afraid that these new baptisms, these new washings, as it were, might take the place of the old ones that they practiced. And interesting how some people are very jealous over their particular religion. Now, I'm not going to fight on behalf of any religion, but I will fight on behalf of the Word of God. That's something that's worth taking a stand for. Verse 26. And they came unto John, the religious rulers came unto John, and said unto him, Rabbi, it doesn't say necessarily religious rulers, I'm sorry. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So these are actually John's disciples, people that cared about John the Baptist, people who respected John and who looked to him as a spiritual leader. And some of his disciples come to John the Baptist, say, John, you know that Jesus person that you pointed to? He's intruding into your ministry. He's getting more people than you are now. And I don't know. What do they want John to do? Advertise? You know, hire a marketing minister? Or something, hire a marketing firm to market his ministry. It's like they're expecting John to do something. Like he's in competition with Jesus, the one that he pointed to. But notice, I love John, just love John the Baptist. See, this is one of the reasons this guy's my hero, one of my spiritual heroes, of course, next to Jesus. I love John's answer in verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be delivered him from heaven. So God has a plan for each and every one of us that know him through Jesus Christ. If you are saved, God has a plan for you. Our job as Christians is to be faithful and obedient to that plan, to finish that plan. God will determine the extent of the response that we get, of the outward success, as it were, that we have. That is God's business. And that's what John is saying. Our job is to be faithful. The results, that's God's business. Verse 28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. John is reminding his disciples about what he has always said. He's probably surprised that they came up to him and they expressed their concern for the fact that Jesus was baptizing more than he was, and that Jesus' ministry was growing and John's was shrinking. John's probably shocked. surprised that they would come up and express their concern about this. He's reminding his disciples what he has always said. John never said that he was important. I guess some of his followers thought he was important and kind of looked to him that way. And in a sense, he was, because he was doing the will of God. But part of the will of God was acknowledging that he wasn't the important one, that that Jesus was the important one. But he never said that he was important. So why are they upset that his ministry is shrinking and Jesus is growing? He never said he was important. John never tried to get a following for himself. All he ever tried to do was be obedient, to say what God wanted him to say, and to get people to follow God. That was his mission in life. That's what was important to John. Follow God. He did it. He wanted others to do it. That's why he's not upset that people are going to Jesus. You know, people whose goal is to honor God do not get upset when they are not honored. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. In other words, it doesn't bother me, John is saying, that people are going to Christ. The bridegroom is the one who gets to go home with his new wife, and Jesus gets to have the devotion of the people. That's the way it's supposed to be. If we are promoting Jesus Christ as Christians, in how we behave, in what we say, then we are successful. No matter what else we do, no matter what else we don't do, if we are promoting Jesus Christ as Christians, then we are successful. No matter what else happens or does not happen. That's what determines whether we are successful or not. See, John the Baptist was successful because he was promoting Jesus Christ. Verse 30, and here it is in a nutshell. John says about Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that a great attitude? He must increase, I must decrease. And these are not the words of a radical follower of Jesus. He may seem radical today, but he isn't. John, in saying this, is just being normal. That's all. And if Jesus is our Lord, if Jesus is truly our Lord, then our goal will be to more and more die to self and more submit to Christ. If Jesus Christ is truly our Lord, we're saved, and he's our Lord, and we love him like we should, we haven't lost that first love, then we want to live less in our lives and have Jesus live more in our lives. I hope I'm saying that clearly. We want Jesus to control us and his will to be done more than we want self-will to be done. We want to follow the Word of God more than we want to follow our own fleshly desires that contradict the Word of God. Jesus must increase. We must decrease. We will have the same attitude that John the Baptist had. That's why I said, these are not the words of a radical follower of Jesus Christ. These are the words of a normal Christian, according to the Word of God. Christ must have more control of us and we should have less control of us. He must increase, and we must decrease. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Jesus is above all. Jesus is above all. Jesus is God. Jesus came to earth. Jesus left heaven. And that's why he must increase and we must decrease. That is why what he wants is more important than what we want, because Jesus is above all. Do you see that? He's above all. He's God. He's creator. He's sustainer. He's provider. He's savior. He's judge. He is above all. He just explained why he must increase and we must decrease. We're not the most important thing. We should not be the most important thing to us. Jesus is above all. Seek to please Christ with every fiber of your being as a Christian. And you know what will happen? He'll bless you. Well, maybe not materially, but he'll bless you spiritually because you're being obedient to him. Verse 32, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. It's tough when you know deep down inside of you that something is true because you have experienced it. You just know it's true. You've experienced, you know. Or you've seen it yourself. And yet, no one believes you when you tell them about it. Ever happened to you? That's happened to me. Well, it happens to every Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you know deep down in your soul that Jesus is the Savior, the only way to heaven. And you know if you're truly a Christian, the joy that he brings, the peace that he brings, the forgiveness that he brings, you know all those things. It's a fact. You know you've experienced it in your own life. You've experienced Jesus. And you tell other people about it, and some people, maybe most people, don't believe you or don't care. It's like, that's kind of hard, isn't it? You kind of scratch your head and say, don't get it. You're missing out on the most wonderful thing in the world because you don't believe something that I know for a fact is true. And Jesus spoke pure truth. He knew exactly what he was talking about all the time. And yet very few believed him while he was here. 33. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal to this, that God is true. In other words, when you accept the words of Christ, including the very words that he inspired his apostles to write, then you are accepting the words of God. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, Jesus was not under the control of the Holy Spirit sometime. He was not under the control of the Spirit here and there. The Spirit did not control Jesus, sometimes here, sometimes there, sometimes not at all. No, it was never that way. Every word that Jesus spoke was the holy word of Almighty God. See, when I think about that, I've mentioned this before, I would have loved to have been one of his apostles. And I know they paid. I mean, they were martyred and they suffered. And I don't know if I have the grace to handle that. Well, I suppose if Jesus would call me, he'd give me the grace. But, you know, I don't think of myself as being that strong. I wish I was stronger than what I am. Of course, you know, God gives us grace to do what he wants us to do. But one of the reasons I would love to be an apostle is because I love the Word of God. And could you just imagine with being with the Son of God 24 hours a day? And no matter what he said, it was the word of God. What a thrill. Too bad they didn't have tape recorders back in those days. But every word that he spoke was the word of God. Everything Jesus did, 100% of the time, all the time, was done by God. The Spirit was not given to Jesus in measure. He was all God, all the time. God always acted through him all the time. 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hand. All the fullness of God was in Christ. He had it all. You and I, as Christians, we have spiritual gifts from God. And sometimes we move in step with the Spirit of God. Jesus had all the spiritual gifts, every spiritual gift that there is. And he was always in step with the Holy Spirit. Pure, 100% God manifest in the flesh. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, made man. Verse 35 and 36. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hand. And here is a great verse. 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And this is what we were talking about earlier. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. But notice how faith and obedience go hand in hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And James says, faith without works is dead. Jesus gives eternal life to those who believe in him. And Jesus gives eternal life, according to James, whose faith influences their life to obey God. Because the grace that gives the gift of salvation, according to Scripture, also gives the gift of a heart for God. If God has given you the free gift of salvation, he has also given you at the same time a gift of a heart for God. And that's what the Bible means when it says that to those of us who believe in Christ, he is precious. We have a heart for God and a desire to obey him. And here's the cool part, the power to obey him. And that's why Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, talking about Jesus, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Obedience and faith, they go together. I'm out of time. You can continue studying the Word of God if you want to at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out at thebibleversebyverse.com and begin a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. I suggest begin in Genesis, go all the way through Revelation, studying the whole counsel of God verse by verse. Or study any individual book of the Bible that you want to study. It doesn't matter. Study it using my audio Bible messages. It's as easy as clicking on the book and the chapter you want to study, and then clicking, or I should say, and opening your Bible and listening, follow along. So if you love the Word of God, check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, we are brought to you by your prayers and financial support. Never been underwritten by a large church or denomination. Depend on you. So pray for this ministry. And if you would, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Be a part of this ministry. Until next time, so long.